Here's Sports Radio 105, The Ticket on iHeartRadio. Run for cover. This is Radioactive Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I take pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Wiggins. In your face. That was impressive. Andrew Wiggins, strong take for Wiggins. Foul on his way to the rack. And how about that throwdown?
29th time this season the Wolves have given up 10 or more a game. They've won only four such games. Andrew Wiggins, the trifecta. Third impressive throwdown of the night.
Take that, Rudy.
Look who's back.
Hey, everybody. Day in paradise. Another day in paradise.
Because people like to say salsa.
I like to be posterized.
I just want to thank each and every one of y'all for all you've done to your bodies. It's still real to me, damn it.
If you have a telescope, Uranus is visible too.
I've been looking. I've been checking through the telescope at my anus.
Because people like to say salsa.
Salsa. That's my favorite. People I like to say salsa.
People like to say salsa.
Salsa. Because people like to say salsa.
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 Instead of salsa.
People like to say salsa.
Salsa.
Hell no.
Hell yeah.
Hell
yes. What
Where
up, man?
Were you yesterday, for God's sakes? You left me in here with Pete Wagner, of all people, who was trying to set me up with some wrestling chicks that he knows, and I was Googling them, and I'm like,
Wrestling chicks?
Really?
Hellfire, you need to have yourself a wrestling diva.
He just wants somebody to come and kick my own butt.
I'm kicking my ass, diva!
I can do that myself. Thank you very much.
Leave me by myself. I wish to kick my own ass.
Yes.
And then enjoy some chips and salsa.
People like to say salsa. People like to say salsa.
Yeah. Getting back from a little weekend, a little spring break action, a little some technical difficulties.
Look like you caught the bird flu with your hair. You don't do your hair anymore? What's going on?
I don't know. I didn't have any pretties to put my hair in ponytails or pigtails. I was going to braid it. But then I decided against it, and it looks like hell. I don't care, though. What did you do over the weekend?
Can't tell you.
Well, you can too.
Tell me. New Ulm. You know where New Ulm is?
Hell yeah.
Went to New Ulm.
Went down there. I was drinking down there in New Ulm with Ted Marty.
Oh, damn.
Some of that Grain Belt beer is pretty good down there.
I don't know if you can tell by looking at my body, but I come from a pretty athletic family. And my mom, who's 56, has been taking part in this volleyball tournament since before I was born. And she's the leader of the team still. I mean,
no kidding.
Yeah. And so
really?
Every year,
that's cool.
Every year, I want to say the weekend before Easter, we go down to New Ulm. She has this volleyball tournament. So I did that on Saturday.
How nice is that?
Yeah, it was very nice. Very, very nice. And then
she's
Sunday,
been playing in that all these years.
Oh, yeah.
Then,
yeah, she's amazing. She's still the best player on the team. 56 years
unreal.
Old,
unreal.
See, there's still hope for you.
She got me by 2 years.
There's still hope for you to do things.
I feel like I should be able to do some of that. I can't. I wouldn't be able to return a serve.
Yeah,
might be able to dig one out.
It's just all ladies, and that those spandexy pants that they wear.
Hello.
I like them a lot
because people like to say salsa,
and I like to say salsa.
So down in New Ulm. Well, hey, I mean, I used to hang out down there. I mean, remember when the butter
ran through the streets?
Was it the truck that
I don't remember what happened.
Tipped over or the plant itself? Is there a butter mill or whatever
so,
you saw
like that, yeah.
Wow. Don't know, but it was literally clogging the sewers. There was so much. It had to have been like a factory.
Yeah. Had some really good pizza at Happy Joe's. Happy Joe's, where you can watch him make pizzas down there in New Ulm. And then Bob's going to be at Old Chicago, I want to say, in Apple Valley next Wednesday.
Okay.
And Shell's has this new, my favorite kind of beer, and these local breweries that do them, and Town Hall does it over here at Seven
no
Corners.
No one can do it like Shell's.
Shell's is good stuff.
Oh.
But they do this whiskey barrel-aged dark some kind
like
of beer.
Ale or...
And not tomorrow, but next Wednesday in Apple Valley, Bob will be there from a couple hours in the afternoon while we're on the radio.
Yeah.
And I love those beers because you drink them and it tastes like beer, but then when you swallow it down your gullet, you get that burn of the whiskey.
Oh, nice. Now, are you a whiskey guy?
Yeah. Whiskey and beers, bring it on.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like a gong.
Yeah, I like me some whiskey now.
Like a gong.
I do too.
Whiskey or scotch, though?
Whiskey.
I'm more of a Scotch guy.
I'll do a little Johnny Walker from time to time. Yeah. I'll do a little Bombay Sapphire.
That's
a little London Gin.
Yeah,
I'm telling you what I like.
I don't like the Sapphire because it tastes too fruity to me. I like the Beef Eater really dry gin.
Okay, okay. Well, that's dry London Gin is Bombay Sapphire, but tequila. Are you a tequila guy?
Tequila make my clothes come off. So says a country song. But no, it doesn't make my clothes come off. But yeah, no, used to do it all the time. In fact, in college, I lived with a guy just down the street from our radio station here, and he was kind of a prick. I mean, he's a nice guy. He's a nice enough guy, but he used to call these things urine samples, and he would drink shots of tequila, but he would put them in the microwave. So they were warm shots of tequila. And after a night of drinking, he would offer these to people, and they're like, yeah, sure, whatever, I'll do it. And then puking all over the place.
Ralph. Yeah.
That's actually where I got this audio from.
Yeah. You have to hold his hair back?
As a matter of fact, he was a long-haired individual. You can never trust those guys.
I used to drink with a lot of hippies.
Yeah.
And bikers.
No, it's insane.
Used to have me a bike. What was I going to ask you? You just had to keep talking. You talk too much. You talk way too much.
What were you going to ask me?
What was that song called? Tequila Sunrise?
Tequila Makes My Clothes Come Off.
Tequila Sunrise.
Yeah, the Eagles.
Yeah. I've had a few of those sunrises.
Oh, those tequila sunrises. That's some good stuff.
I woke up to a few of those, and I wanted to go back to sleep.
Yeah, you were sleeping
miserable.
That night, you
know. I was miserable.
Tequila and vodka, I would say, in my opinion, are the two worst drunks. I mean, because you wake up the next morning, and you're so hungover.
Vodka. Yeah, I don't even drink vodka.
It's because you're not a woman. Or Russian.
And you are.
No, but I've had vodka before.
Well, I've had it before.
I think if you have vodka,
I don't prefer it.
If you have vodka and seltzer water or something like that, or soda water, it tastes like water.
So you're fine.
But then you get super dehydrated, and then you
just throw that bad boy in there with a Red Bull, and you're good.
Yeah. No kidding.
I don't know what they call those, but I guess that's the ticket.
Vodka Red Bulls. That's what they call them.
Is that what they call them?
Vodka Red Bulls.
No, there's another name for it.
What?
Yeah, there's another name for it.
What?
Yep.
651-989-9105 is the superstar on
the
crack
mixture between
cocaine.
The answer is yes. You don't have to call and answer that.
No, but seriously, what is there another name for vodka Red Bulls?
So.
I'm pretty sure because I'm of drinking age where people I know go out and get hammered and smashed. Because there's nothing better to do on a Saturday, Friday night, Thursday night, Thirsty Thursday, whatever, when you're back in college. But is there another name for a vodka Red Bull? And nobody's calling because I don't think there is.
Yeah, well, there is.
Vodka Red Bull.
Okay.
Maybe the Google will know.
Hell, you were so smashed every time you had one.
Roulette.
Didn't.
High 105 a ticket.
Yellow. Oh, come on. Don't chicken out now. You were drinking vodka, Red Bulls, whatever they are, and burning couches over here at the U. All those hockey trophies they were, you know, putting in on the trophy shelves up there at the U.
According to the Wikipedia, vodka Red Bull, also known as vodka and Red Bull.
Okay.
Or Raging Bull.
I think that's it.
Speedball.
Yeah.
Supercharger.
It's not a speedball.
Vod Bomb. Vod Bull. Vody Red. Russian Bull. Echo. Heart Attack Special. Vegas Dreams.
I think it's Raging Bull. I think I've heard that.
Nobody around these parts.
You know, you son of a bitch, if you don't like the names of my drinks and my concoctions, then you know what you can do?
Radio Roulette. I-105 the ticket. Who's this?
This is Chris from Champlin.
Chris
from Champlin. Bring it on.
Liquid Viagra.
That's it.
Is it?
That's it. Thank
Liquid
you.
Liquid Viagra.
Yeah.
Liquid Viagra.
Yes, indeed. Son of a bitch, that is correct. You know what? That's it. And Chris, have you ever heard of Raging Bull by chance? Hello?
Oh, he's gone. Radio Roulette. Hi, 105 The Ticket. Who's this?
Actually, Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Raging Bull.
Excuse me? In 2001, it was reported in Sweden that two people died after drinking vodka Red Bull.
God.
The Swedish National Food Administration investigated and as a result continued to permit the sale of Red Bull. However, caffeinated alcoholic energy drinks can be hazardous as caffeine can mask the influence of alcohol and may lead to a person to misinterpret their actual level of intoxication.
Yeah, that's a good point. It kind of covers it up, sort of disguises things. You start thinking you're feeling pretty good and you're smashed.
Yeah.
But I've been there.
Twins baseball starts in less than a week. Monday in Detroit.
Big
take
time.
A day off. Can we take the day off? All I want to do is watch the baseball
games.
Go
out and watch them? It's in Detroit?
Yeah, I don't want to go to Detroit. It's a dump.
Yeah, it's a tough place.
I went to Old Tiger Stadium, and I swear to God, I thought I was in a Batman movie.
It looked like Gotham City. It's pretty rough there in them parts.
Steam coming up through the manholes, and everything was just dark and dreary.
Yes.
Buildings were half there.
So that place has been through some tough times with that economy.
I had to sit behind a beam back at Old Tiger Stadium. Remember when Cecil Fielder used to hit those out of the stadium?
Oh, yeah.
Not even just a home, but out of the park, out of the roof.
Right out, right over the top.
They had these big, huge beams all over the place because it was built way back in the 1910s or something like
that.
And I had to do one of these. Had to look over here if I wanted to see home plate. Had to look over on this side if I wanted to see the outfield.
Those old school rafter stadiums with the beams, like you're saying, and the rafters. I played out of the stadium like that called Cleveland Municipal. Mm. And it was the same kind of barn, kind of put up the same way.
You know how excited for baseball I am this morning.
I know you are.
As soon as GameStop opened at 10 a.m., I made my trek to GameStop, traded in my Madden game for PS4 because I'm not going to be playing that anymore. Once the draft comes, I want the new players. I'm not going to play with the old players.
Why'd you turn your Madden game in? Now, what happens if you want to go back and play the most current Madden?
No. I'm not going to want to.
Okay.
Because there are going to be these new players in the draft. I'm finicky like that. But I bought baseball today. MLB The Show.
The
PlayStation 4. I'm going to go home and play with the sticks and see. Hopefully, Buxton and Sano are on the minor leagues. Alex Meyer, Trevor May, all those guys. They better be on the team. Otherwise, I will be throwing things.
Well, they're not right now. I mean, but Tom Schreier from Cold Omaha, one of the 105 The Ticket writers, has a nice article devoted to just such personnel that you're talking about right now. But, I mean, they've been sent elsewhere.
But here's the thing with these games these days. Not only am I in charge because I like to play the general manager role.
Well, from your viewpoint,
am I in charge of the major league team, I'm also in charge of AAA, AA, Single A. And oftentimes, when it comes to the MLB The Show in the past seasons, where we've had a guy like maybe Aaron Hicks or somebody else, they don't put their real names in there if they're in the minor leagues.
You don't have to if you're Aaron Hicks. Because he messes everything up. He doesn't even sign his own name correctly, which is very much your case too.
I don't sign my name correctly?
No, I mean, you're the Aaron Hicks of radio.
No, you are. I called you that first. You can't copy me and call me that once I'm calling you that.
All right, I'll be Aaron Hicks of radio.
Who am I then?
You can be like...
Tavares Jackson of radio? Christian Ponder of radio? Please don't call me the Christian Ponder of radio.
You just sealed your own fate. You're the Christian Ponder of radio. And I love the guy.
No, you don't.
I do.
You might like him as a person.
I do like him as a person.
Player.
I mean, remember the charity work he did? That was pretty cool when he and his wife saw another group of
at Lululemon,
like,
the Mall of America,
yeah, and they let them go on a shopping
spree. Lululemon.
That was pretty fun. I thought.
Do you have any? I mean, you work out all the time. Do you have any Lululemon equipment?
I do. Yeah, I've got some good looking gear that it's all like my spandex stuff.
Yeah, well, that's basically what it is. My brother, who I've been working out with for the past 6 months, loves Lululemon, but I don't want to go down there and spend $60 on a workout shirt. You know what I mean?
Well, it's mostly for gals, isn't it? I mean, I was just joking. I don't think so. Is it really?
Yes.
I don't run. I'm not a runner. It's technically speaking, I think it's more runner gear.
Mm.
I thought it was mostly women's apparel.
You want to hear something disgusting? So I've been working out a lot and just drenched. In the morning when I go do my cardio, and so I come back and I take off, my undershirt or whatever that I got going on, and I put it in the hamper. I went to go do the laundry, just
wet.
Infested with mold.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what you call waiting too long to do laundry.
It was like a week.
Stupid.
It was a week.
It's because you're the Christian Ponder of laundry. You got to do your laundry, dude. I mean, put it in the damn machine.
How much laundry do I need? I mean, I do it once a week on the weekends. That should be enough.
I shouldn't be bringing mold up, dog.
Oh, I mean, because they are.
Do you ever wring them out?
Yeah, I have.
Oh, you got to wring them out, or they'll just sit there. And
now I just put them on like a fan or something, and then
you fan them.
Yeah.
While
to dry them out. I mean, it's upsetting when I have to go to Target and buy undershirts all the time because they're all moldy.
Wait. Let's make this plain and simple for all the listeners out there. You work out.
Yeah.
You come home, you take off the shirt, the sweaty, drenched shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You wring it out.
Yeah. No, I don't wring it out every day.
But then you put it over the fan.
Yeah.
You blow that in the house.
Yeah.
Good.
Well, it's only my dog smelling it throughout the day. I mean, I'm not there during the day. I don't care.
You're funny, dude.
Heck of a show today, though.
What's wrong with you?
We're going to give away some tickets later on. NFL Draft Trivia. We have tickets to the 2015 Minnesota Swarm. Any home game you want to go to.
Nice.
Plus a four-pack of tickets to see Running Aces April Comedy Shoe.
Comedy. Comedy.
We had a little bit of a discussion, and we'll have another discussion today, about the who shall not be named number one against the who shall not be named number two. Some interesting information where the who shall not be named number two, Kentucky guy, who I'm calling Cat, he is now overtaking Joe, who's the who shall not be named number one from Duke.
Really?
In NBA draft boards. We'll talk about that coming up a little bit later.
And guess who's overtaking all of them for the MVP of the tournament? Who is predicted to be the MVP of this tournament if everything goes the way it's supposed to kind of go?
Is it our guy?
It's our guy.
Tyus Jones?
Tyus Jones. I will play that video piece for you.
Okay.
I couldn't believe it.
Okay.
They love him.
Okay.
Jameis
Winston's pro day today. I don't know if you had a chance to watch it. We'll talk about that coming up next. Got some audio. Kurt Warner calling him a great leader. Jameis Winston saying he had a pretty good pro day. And then there's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers general manager who said, I've talked to everybody who said he's just a great guy.
And then I could look it up again. I thought I read it correctly. Don't know who it was yet, but I will source it, who said also the biggest thing and the scariest thing about Jameis Winston is that he acts a lot more like a 10-year-old, and the one-on-one that he had with Goodell was a very pointed, stern, no pun intended, stern, get it, but it was Goodell who had a talk with him, and I guess it was very, very stern.
I still can't believe he's going number one, but we'll talk about Jameis Winston as we come back, everybody.
Radioactive Sports.
You're listening to 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Olsen.
I did okay. I did well. I just came out here to make a statement and to show the world, showing that I'm the best quarterback in the draft. I'm a competitor, and I was born to compete. You know, my dad raised me to compete. My mama raised me to compete, and that's what I do.
In between stealing crab legs and shoving them down my pants.
But you have to understand, that's Jameis Winston, by the way, commenting about how competitive he really is, and I have no doubt that he is. There's no question he is. He's also extremely competitive at the steal as many crab legs as you can competition. It's just that no one was ever really playing against him. He was, I guess, playing against his own numbers. He got caught.
Yeah. At a Publix, which is one of my favorite grocery stores. You probably saw a bunch. You were just in Florida. I love
Publix.
Indeed.
Yes, indeed.
Makes me think of pubic hair for some reason. I don't
have
any
idea. Me too, funny enough.
Yeah. I guess it's just the dirty minds that we have together.
I think
together.
It just is. But, the pubic hair thing comes up all the time with me, too.
I don't get it.
It's strange.
Yeah. Everything, you came back. You were in West Palm Beach. Everything that I told you about West Palm Beach come true?
It was.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
It's a nice beach.
Yeah. No, it's a great
MacArthur
beach.
MacArthur Beach.
Yeah. Any jellyfish?
No.
Oh, because when I was there, it was like jellyfish everywhere. But I still went in there.
None whatsoever. But people all over the place. Yeah, you were swimming with the jellyfish.
Yeah, I don't care.
You want to know why? Because your clothes stink.
My clothes stink?
They leave you alone.
My clothes stink. I don't wear clothes when I go to the ocean. I just have... But anyway, that's
what
I mean.
Hey, tell me more.
No.
You were naked?
No, not naked.
You're naked?
Just had swim trunks on. I don't have any other clothes. No socks, no shirts, no nothing.
Jellyfish don't mess with you.
No.
Are you Jeremy Wade from River Monsters?
Yeah. So Jameis Winston is pro day today. I watched most of it. It was on live NFL Network, and Kurt Warner was there, Mike Mayock, who we obviously trust.
Yep.
Love and trust. And then the general manager from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers afterwards said, basically, Jameis Winston has cemented himself in that number one pick. He didn't do anything wrong today. I thought, you know, personally, he didn't really throw as well as he possibly should have. After his pro day, after throwing, Jameis Winston said, you know, after I play football, I go to baseball. And that's why I kind of have this long windup. As a right fielder and as a pitcher, you got to have this long, smooth windup in baseball. And so now I'm finally learning how to be a quarterback 12 months out of the year. Bucks general manager said there was nothing wrong. Everybody we've talked to, when it comes to assistant coaches, head coaches, players, friends, family, everybody says this. Jameis Winston is just a great guy. He's a great leader, which is obviously the complete opposite of everything that we've heard in the media. And I don't feel comfortable taking him. If I was the Minnesota Vikings, which I love and honor and support, my favorite football team. If we had the number one pick and we're looking for a quarterback, I don't know that I'd be comfortable taking Jameis Winston.
I know I wouldn't. I mean, I know you have your own thoughts, and I do of mine. The kid looks incredibly talented, but there's just been so many things off the field that have been that are red flags about his decision-making process. I have nothing against the way he throws the football, whether it's on the move or out of the pocket or athleticism, or they claim that the guy is incredibly, you know, he's got that football IQ that you just can't coach. Like, the game comes to him sooner than most. I mean, it just is that way. Kind of with Teddy Bridgewater, same thing. And I mean, he's a great athlete. Do you want to take a chance on someone that steals crab legs and puts them down their pants and walks out of a store, out of a pubic store? Or do you want to... I mean, there's some other, but that's not even the big stuff. That's just one little tiny thing. We're talking about the other stuff.
That stealing of the crab legs. Stealing of the crab legs was after the alleged rape.
Yeah, and I think there was a couple incidents.
Was after him getting up in the commons at Florida State and standing on one of the tables and saying, well, I don't even remember what he said, but it was just putrid speech is what it was. I mean, it's just one thing after another. And so for Kurt Warner on the NFL Network to say this, I was surprised by that, too. Listen to this and tell me your thoughts.
Every time I've been around him, everybody you talk to, they say the same thing. You know, I was watching it at the combine, you know, because these quarterbacks had only been around these receivers for a couple days. What would that be like? And I saw him. He was joking with guys. He was getting them loosened up. He was breaking them down. And you could kind of tell right there that this guy could walk into a room and he could connect with different people. You heard it from Coach Fisher earlier on the things that he does that we don't ever see about it. Talked to a couple of the staff members today. Talk about him running back and opening doors for people and the way he communicates with the people up in the offices. And those are things that I don't think we see, but the more you're around him, the more you realize he's not going to have any problem connecting with teammates, connecting with organization and fans. So I think that's something you can kind of, you know, check the box, as Mike always says. You can check the box on that one because he's going to be a dynamic leader, I believe.
Okay, so you hear that. And also, there's a concern about him not being very mature at times, too. And I'm looking at an article right now, trying to find out the source of who said this, but there is concern. NFL concerned with Winston. That's how it goes. And it's talking about how he, at times, can act like a 10-year-old.
Well, that's what 10-year-olds do. They steal crab legs. They get on tables. They talk about stupid things that they shouldn't be talking about when the spotlight's been on them because they've been accused of alleged rape. And it's like, dude, you have a possibility of being the number one overall draft pick or at least one of the best quarterbacks coming out in the NFL draft. We talked about Gregory from Nebraska, who's been smoking weed, got tested positive at the combine. What are some of these players thinking? And when you look at Jameis Winston, 6'4", 227, he's got a great arm, he's athletic. He's basically everything you want in a quarterback when it comes to body and strength and stuff like that. You said his football IQ is pretty high. But it's just the off-the-field stuff, and especially when it's going to be the first overall draft pick, the quarterback, the face of your franchise. I don't know. I'd be much happier with a Marcus Mariota, even though I don't necessarily love his skills that much. More like a Teddy Bridgewater guy that's just going to be a quiet leader and a guy that your guys respect, your teammates respect, instead of a guy that's fun in games and, hey, watch me go steal some crab legs. This will be funny.
Yeah, check this out. It'll be something to do. Something fun. There's nothing else to do. Let's go steal some crab legs and just see how far we can get with that. I mean, and I'm with you on the Mariota thing. I don't think that he's really as good as people have hyped him out for the last 2 years to be. I mean, I think that any quarterback in that system, athlete, and can run in that old Chip Kelly system, I think that just amplifies their abilities more and more in that hurry-up offense. I think when you look at a pro day or even more so drafted and then in the pros, what you see is not quite what you bargained on. It doesn't make the professional football transition.
That's why I'm grateful that we snuck back into the first round, got Ted Bridgewater, because he's all grown up.
And he ran a pro offense, and he dominated by throwing in the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the pro game.
Which is what Jameis Winston does, though, too. Jimbo Fisher's got a pretty pro-ready offense down there at Florida State. I mean, that was one of the pluses when we drafted, the Minnesota Vikings drafted Christian Ponder.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, that it's a good system. And he's a good player. I mean, he's won a lot of big games. And he's won the Heisman.
And he might be one of the better quarterbacks to come out in the draft with an NFL career. He may, or he may not. You have no idea. It's a crapshoot when it comes to the draft. But I just don't feel comfortable drafting him.
And especially with the Johnny Manziel situation, I'm not comparing him to Johnny Manziel with the alcohol problem or wanting to be the star, or he's always in Las Vegas taking photos with Manny Pacquiao or Floyd Mayweather, whoever he's hanging out with.
Right.
Women hanging all over him. Nightlife here and there. I mean, you don't see that from Jameis Winston. But the alleged rape's a big
deal. We've heard about things with women with Jameis Winston, and it's not good.
No.
And when you think about the hype and how good is Johnny Manziel coming out of A&M last year, how good is he? I mean, people were like, is he one, two, three? Is he top five? Is he the second best quarterback? Is he the best quarterback in this draft? Where do we take him in the first round? And then it just started to, I mean, everyone started to kind of get onto him. As pro days took place, our own two guys, our very own Vikings personnel went down there. Mike Zimmer, Norv Turner. If Turner doesn't know a quarterback, no one does. They came back completely unimpressed. And
Zimmer
called it
a circus.
And Zimmer called it a circus. And from that point on, I remember how much ground, you know, Johnny Football was losing. He was. Manziel was losing ground to the draft. And picking up his phone and saying, please, someone come and get me now at this point.
Yeah.
And he is a bust right now. But how good did we think he was, a lot of us, coming out of college?
I don't know. I didn't like it.
I thought he was pretty impressive in college. But at the same time,
in college, sure, I wanted the Vikings to have nothing to do with him. And so all my friends that are Viking fans wanted, oh, the next coming of Fran Tarkenton or this or that. Or look at, he's going to be Brett Favre all over again because he's a maverick. No, I don't want anything to do with that guy. Well, but when it comes to drafting number one overall, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you have a coach who might be on the hot seat, Lovie Smith, if he doesn't get a guy into Tampa to produce, and a young general manager, too. I mean, you're basing your tenure with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on this draft pick, and to me, that's, I don't know, it's just the risk is just too high.
It'd be a pretty tough thing to do, and I'm not saying that Mariota is the answer either.
No,
I'm really
God,
not. I really am not saying that either. But with a receiver like, two receivers like Mike Evans and like Vincent Jackson, I mean, come on, you got some players out there. Get the ball to them. We're going to take a little break. Come on back, everybody. We got 4.5 questions. Ben asked me 4 questions. I do the best I can, even though they're absurd questions and normally just too far out there.
Because you don't listen to me. You never listen to me. I'll get it.
See, I heard you say that. Oh. I mean, I'll let you get it.
Okay.
And then we do a little half question. I give a kind of a... I never do it right. I never give just a one-word response. I give an explanation for why I gave a one. Anyway, we're going to do that next, right here on Radioactive Sports.
That's a great feeling. It's a kind of dream come true for me, and being in the NFL, being in the States for the first time. I mean, I'm doing football since 10 years ago, and been doing the Polish League. Last season, I played for Dresden Motor Team, and that was actually the first time I met the proper coaches and the guys that learned me some good techniques.
Well, you know...
Any idea what he just said?
That's Tucci Benucci.
Yeah. No, it's Kabushki Bushki.
Yeah.
Tucci Bushki.
He's a big kid. I saw him in person, didn't even realize it, but I thought when I turned and looked at him at the clinic, wow, that is a big one there. That is a big man. And that was him. 6'9", 351, Tucci Benucci. he sounds like a great kid.
Baba Gadoosh, Shkibushki.
And I watched him on 2 or 3 different video pieces that they were fairly impressive the way he moves for a really big man. I mean, seriously, pushing the grinder sled and not on the field. I'm not impressed by what he can do to tiny little people on the field. I got a feeling he's going to make anyone look tiny, though. But he was playing against people that looked like they were in high school, and that's all I can say. But he does move well. I mean, his feet and his hands look good to me. But against different talent, we'll find out.
It's not even NFL Europe. It's Polish League football, by the way, is what he was playing. Baba Gadoosh. His real name, Babatunde Ayibusi. Last week, we talked about the Vikings and their newest monster of a man. 6'9", 351 pounds.
Man, he was a big kid.
Bushki, Baba Gadoosh.
Baba Gadooshka.
Whatever his name is. It seems like he's been in one of the papers or on the late news almost every day since his signing. Baba Gadoosh is an undrafted rookie from Poland. We talked about that. Only 5 Polish players in NFL history. Three of those have been kickers. Why do you think he's become such a media darling?
I don't know. That's a great question. I don't get it. I've never seen this much attention given to a kid that...
Undrafted.
...really has a really sketchy football background. I mean, the size is there, but you can find those kind of guys all over the place. Yeah. Literally, the 6'9", 350s are... They're kind of a dime a dozen now coming out of these Division I schools.
But you notice that too. That I mean, he's everywhere I look, it's Bobby Cadouche.
Oh, God, I mean, everywhere. I can't believe it. He signed a bare minimum rookie contract. I think it was a three-year contract worth about $1.5 million for the term of the contract. None of it's guaranteed, of course. He's got a long ways to go. He's going to get an opportunity. And the one thing I like about the kid was it looks like he's got work ethic. For a big guy, it's hard to convince them to go work out and stay with it and really grind hard. He was giving her hell. I will say that. And I mean just footwork. The football stuff, I can't even begin to evaluate it because it's way too dicey and under the level that he's going to play at. It's not even a college-level standard.
No, I know. I just don't understand all the hype about a guy that the Vikings signed who probably will be a practice squad player at best. I mean, Bob Sansevier was talking about it earlier today. He said probably won't even make training camp.
He may not. He may not.
So why is he all over the media in the Twin Cities?
Question mark for me. Question mark. I've never seen that. It has blown up. It really. I understand that he's from Poland, and that's unique, is that he was born and raised. But I still, I mean, we have Samoan players. We have a lot of different nationalities. And I don't know. I don't know. I really don't.
Question two, your guy Aaron Hicks, demoted to AAA on Saturday, making
Mondays.
That's
where you're going with your career, too.
Opening day for the Twins. The first time in 3 years, Hicks will not be in center field. We talk often about the disappointing career he's had so far. He seems to have all the tools, all the talents, but for some reason, whether it's reports that he doesn't work hard or pay attention, he's miserable when it comes to the offensive side of the game. Now people are talking about the possibility that Aaron Hicks' career with the Twins may be over. Did you know he's a scratch golfer? Pete Wagner told me that yesterday. In fact, Pete Wagner filled in for you yesterday. He said there's a better chance Aaron Hicks becomes a pro golfer than him coming back to play at Target Field. Why and who do you blame for his demise? Do you think it's the Twins for how they handled him, bringing him up too early before he was ready, not coaching him correctly, or just Hicks for being a lazy airhead? Combination of both. I don't know.
I think that a lot can be said. Literally just a combination of both of those things. I think he's been lazy before in the past. I think he is giving it everything he's got now from what we understand. But the fact is, and it still remains a big red flag, when Al Newman comes out and says, I don't think he can handle the pressure at this level. I mean, I think that he just freezes, and I know the type, and I know the kinds of things that happen to young athletes or athletes with all the talent in the world, which he does have. But they just, in the heat of the moment, they lock up. I mean, when he missed the situational, the number of outs in an inning got benched by Molitor, that just shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen. And it's and you know what? When you turn your head and it's always a big mistake or something blundering, it's always Hicks. Yeah. It's always Hicks. So it tells you something.
But that's why I compare him to Carlos Gomez, because his offensive side of his ball game wasn't very good. He would either hit a home run, strike out,
cycle. Look like he hit the cycle, and then
or look like an absolute idiot. Yeah. However, in the outfield, he was fantastic, and that's what Aaron Hicks is doing. I'm just afraid that we're going to trade him to somebody like, let him go, and then a team like the Milwaukee Brewers, who are the Spies,
right there with Gobot,
Chicago White Sox, or somebody, and he's going to turn into an all-star.
Because people like to say salsa.
Salsa sure is what I like to
question
say.
Question three, I was getting tweets, texts, watching the Timberwolves game last night. It was tough. They got beat by 20 points by the Utah Jazz. Before the tip with Utah, Flip Saunders announced that Peck was done for the year. We were talking about that yesterday when you decided not to come to work, by the way.
Screw off.
After playing a career-low 31 games this season, that's it. Peck still has 3 years, $36 million left on his contract. After all the poor decisions this team has made in the past, and we know about them from the draft, trades, contracts, coaches, GMs, you name it, it's hard to root against the Joe Smith debacle and the Darko Milicic signing, but is Peck's contract the worst in team history? Let me remind you, they weren't bidding against anybody else. He was a restricted free agent. There were rumors that Portland was going to come in and bid something, but we could have matched anybody's offer. No need to pay him this much money with the known baggage and injuries that he brought with him. But
did he bring injuries and a slew of injuries with him? I didn't think he was that way.
He's only played, I want to say, at most 70% of the season ever in his career.
I see. I wasn't aware of that.
Oh yeah.
Before he got to us.
No, he's played for us, but he played throughout his rookie deal. He was a restricted free agent.
That's what I'm saying. With them, was he also injured with his rookie contract? I don't even know where he came in from.
Yes, with the Minnesota Timberwolves, the most he's ever played is 70%.
I know that for a fact. I know that. And when he's played, say a 70% season, he's got good numbers. He's gotten not defensively, but he does do some things very well. And I mean, Jerry Zagoda's told us that he does some things that nobody can do.
No, I completely agree. But why bid against yourselves, given the 5 years, six? I mean, originally they wanted to do 4 years, $48 million. He said, no, I'm only taking 5 years, $60 million. Nobody else offered him that. He was a restricted free agent. We could have said, well, screw you. We'll play this one-year tender for, I want to say it was $8 million. See what you do there.
Mm-hmm.
Why did we pay him so much money when nobody else was even in the running? Makes no sense.
But you said Portland was... Well, they heard that Portland was in the running.
Well, but they had said that they were possibly going to pay us back for giving an offer sheet to Nicholas Batum, because remember, we tried to sign him away from Portland when David Kahn was the general manager. So they said, we're going to get in there and kind of screw up your game a little bit. But nobody
poison
bid.
Pillows.
Nobody bid on Nikola Pekovic. So why did we?
Did they chase him out? Did they run him off with a high number? Like, here, take this. If you want to go play with us, then here, there's the starting number. And they're like, okay, well, screw that.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, if you set the number high,
yeah,
and you're bidding on an unrestricted free agent,
yeah,
and you have word in your court that in your war room that someone else might be in or out to screw you over. Mm.
But he was a restricted free agent.
Okay.
So they could have matched anybody's offer. So was he
from Portland?
No.
Who was Pekovic with before?
He's always played for the Timberwolves here in the NBA.
You said he had another contract before that. Did you not see
his rookie contract? And then 2 years ago, they signed him to this 5 year, $60 million contract.
That's where it's at. Then I completely did not know what you knew, and I thought talking about it. We brought him in from another team as an unrestricted or restricted free agent. Okay, that's just something that you can't. In this game, I think it's a matter of putting up or shutting up or getting him stolen from you.
But there was no way that he was going to be stolen, because even if he was offered, let's say, 4 years, 48 or 5 years, $60 million.
Well, but if they were saying they were going to poison pill us and go grab him,
but they couldn't poison pill.
Well, but they could have set the number so high that we couldn't have come back and wouldn't have wanted to come back and match a number higher.
I think the maximum deal that he could get was 5 years, $60 million. That was the maximum he could have received.
So we said, we'll max out. We're getting him back no matter what.
And I think the Timberwolves can offer him more money than anybody else could have. The NBA has got all these strange rules when it comes to free agents.
They do. It's hard to keep up with.
Worse than Timberwolves history, though, in my opinion. It just drives me insane.
The worst.
I think so. I mean, even Joe Smith and Darko
Milicic.
Marko
Jaric for a first-round draft choice was pretty damn bad, too. No, he was horrible.
They've had so many.
I mean, Peck, when he's healthy, at least. Yeah. At least he goes home and works out incredibly hard to try and get himself back. It just never has been good for him. It's just he's got a black cloud hanging over his head, and he's injury prone.
Yeah, we're going to do 3.5 questions today because we're running out of time. The Wild, the NHL's hottest team since the All-Star break. They've been winning crazy down the stretch, which is a perfect time to peak as the team heads into the postseason, obviously.
Yep.
At the beginning of the season, the first two games were great. We just blew out Colorado. We didn't allow a single goal. But then there was lack of power play goals, the mumps, the injuries, passing of relatives, blah, blah, blah. Should coach Mike Yobe fire. We go on forever.
And I looked over the last 2 months, February and March, and just counted the numbers of wins and losses. And I think over that period of time, they've been 22-6 up until now.
Yeah.
22-6. Mm-hmm. So go ahead.
26-6-1 since the Dubinator came over.
Really?
Yeah. That's his record.
Oh.
Other than Dubie, so this is your half question here. Who deserves the most credit for the Wild's comeback? Yo, Suter, Parisi, GM Chuck Fletcher, the growth of Matt Dumba, Thomas Vanek's turnaround. Ooh. Any other choices?
Those are some good ones. Those are really good. You can say what you want to about this, but if he lucked into it or not, some people have said that he lucked into it. Chuck Fletcher supposedly lucked into pulling Dubnyk out of the. But I would say here's the constant answer I would always give to any Wild question. This bad boy starts and finishes with Parisi, and I give it to Parisi. But Fletcher ain't far behind.
Yeah.
He's not far behind.
He's made some great trades some depth and some veteran leadership.
He's real deal, I think.
Stewart and your guy, Jordan Leopold. My guy. All these guys.
I like him.
Or your guy. Yeah. Bergenheim. I mean, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, you know, I'm big on Zach Parise, even when he's spitting his chicklets out.
That's why I love him the best.
Oh, he's a tough guy. And what he's gone through this year. He's a full-grown man. We're going to come back and talk about the importance of Chad Greenway. Got landed, had to take a big chunk out of his
still the highest-paid player in Vikings the Vikings.
A lot of incentive, though. Big incentive still. But anyway, we're going to come back and talk about the importance of keeping Greenway around here with the Vikings. Active Sports.
Back to Radioactive Sports.
the superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
My number one goal really has been able to finish my career at Minnesota Viking and remain loyal to the place that's been loyal to me. So it's been an honor and definitely want to go out on top being a Minnesota Viking and win a lot of football games this year. But we do have a young crew, a young linebacking crew with a lot of talent, and they need some direction, and I'm definitely there to help them with that.
I don't think there's any question. I hope there's no question in anyone's mind that he's not two steps slower or past his prime. That's not the case.
There are questions in my mind. Reading an article yesterday, Pro Football Focus rated him out of 40 outside linebackers that they rated Pro Football Focus. He was 38th. Anthony Barr, 8th. Gerald Hodges, 9th.
Where does that come from? He hasn't played enough football to be rated. Hodges?
Mm-hmm.
How?
Well,
I mean, how
Shad
did they...
Greenway was out, was it 4 to 5 games last year?
4 games. So? How does Hodges get any street cred? 9th? He doesn't start. What? You tell me how he ranks ahead of, call it 31 other linebackers who start, I'm guessing, who do a lot of time. Greenway, they can say whatever they want to. They can say whatever they want. That guy shows up on the ball a lot. He also keeps things going in the middle of the field. Where to be, how to set up the defense, how to play it. He definitely has leadership when it comes to being inside that locker room at a segment meeting with linebackers, on the field presence in practice. With that leadership, he's money well spent. Trust me, the kinds of money that are thrown around now in this day of professional sports, to give him that kind of money is money well spent. I mean, he took a huge pay cut. There are some incentives. It looks pretty good in the way of him having, and he would have to earn that. He would have to earn certain incentives to make it a more lucrative deal and back up to the kind of money he's used to making, but he's good for that, too. He's good for it. I mean, I know he got injured last year, but he came back and almost caught Blanton for total tackles, for team tackles.
I think Chad Greenway coming back was a big priority for the Minnesota Vikings and one of my favorite Viking players. I don't buy jerseys very often. I do own a Chad Greenway jersey. Growing up in South Dakota, I feel this kinship. I felt betrayed. He went to Iowa a little bit. did you know that he was the Wilfs' first ever draft pick?
I did not know
when
that.
When the Wilfs first came and bought the Minnesota Vikings that year, their first ever draft pick in the first round, Chad Greenway, linebacker out of Iowa. So I think there's some kinship between the Wolves and Chad, and he talked about that in the little clip that I had just played with some of the other audio. It was a big, long discussion that he had at Vikings.com. But I think it's very important to bring him back and that he restructure his contract. So, I mean, we can have more money to do. I don't know. We don't go out and sign free agents, so I'm not really sure what we're going to do with that money. We'll probably put it towards Harrison Smith. But at the same time, looking back a couple years ago, when we let Winfield go.
Antoine Winfield.
Antoine Winfield. Cut him. To save money.
Big mistake.
And I thought that same thing was going to happen last year with Kevin Williams, although the defense did pretty well, and I think Mike Zimmer coming in. But we need that veteran leadership, and just like Chad Greenway said in that little clip that I played, got a lot of young players on this team, especially at linebacker, and for that veteran leadership and somebody who may not be, and I know you disagree with this, who may not be as quick or as fast or as strong or as healthy as he used to be back in the day, that veteran leadership and that coaching ability, which is why I think Mike Zimmer thought it was so important and George Edwards thought it was so important to bring him back, because you can't teach veteran leadership. You can't just go out and grab somebody and go, well, you're a veteran. I want to bring you in here to lead the younger guys. Well, he's got cachet with these guys. I like the word cachet.
I've heard it before.
Yeah, I know you have.
I've heard it in different settings.
But he's got these guys know and trust Chad Greenway. He's led in that locker room. He's the defensive leader. He has been for so long. I mean, he's been with the Minnesota Vikings for 10 years. You can't find that somewhere else. So that's why I thought it was important that they bring him back. And I thought it was one of the best off-season moves that the Minnesota Vikings have made this year.
I totally agree. There's so much that goes into, you either have it or you don't have it. You hear people talk about that it factor. You don't just go tell someone you're going to be a leader this year, so go lead. You either have it or you don't. And by the way, the older you get in the NFL, if you can still hold up to the punishment, the more you know, and just the older you get, the more comfortable you are in the middle of the field, and you react almost instantly to anything that's thrown at you. I guarantee you that is where Chad Greenway is right now. He may be a little slower, maybe not as strong, but he's there probably sooner than he was when he was a rookie through 5 years.
Same thing.
He's there.
Michael Jordan used to say when he came back from his retirement to win another three championships, he goes, you know what, I may not be the most athletically gifted player anymore. I may not be able to jump as high. I may not be able to do this. And I think Chris Carter, your favorite guy, said this as well. When you get up there in age, it becomes a mind game instead of just pure athletic talent. You've got to be smarter than the next guy who can run faster than you. You got to take better angles. You got to wrap up differently, or, you know.
That's it.
I think it's very important.
But especially playing linebacker, to be instinctive and to know that much about football and to be on it, a step ahead of it, it buys you two steps instead of having to be really super fast. I guarantee Greenway will show up this year. If he can hold up to the schedule, he'll be there for the long haul.
Tomorrow,
there's no doubt in my mind.
Tomorrow around this time, or excuse me, Thursday around this time, we're going to get our mock draft update from Dane Brugler from NFL Draft Scout and the CBS Senior Draft Analyst. Some people, some mock drafters, have Trey Waynes going as far high as number 8.
I love him.
Might not be there at number 11
God,
for the Vikings.
That kid is so good. I was reading about him on a couple different sources, you know, signing autographs for everyone there in Michigan. God, he just looks so good. We can come back and talk about that, but I want him so bad, even ahead of an offensive lineman now.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it. Anyway, how far are we going to go with this Adrian Peterson thing? I don't know. Let's talk about that next. You want to?
Yeah.
Let's do that right here at, what do we call the show again?
You know.
Radioactive Sports. I just kidding.
Three signals strong. 105 The Ticket.